Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening? Blog Talk Radio, Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024. And the call-in number is 347-857-3293. And I'm Betty Davis, and my partner, Ralph Pointer, started this blog, and when he transitioned, he said, pick up the work. And so tonight, we are continuing a theme that he has been discussing for more than 2 to 3 years. Our topic tonight is a question. Isn't it time to abandon the two-party system? It's definitely time to abandon both Biden and Trump. And I know many of you took your time getting away from the idiot box tonight as they try to pretend that there is a selection process for the presidency in this country dealing with the Republican primaries. However, this is a news analysis. It's an anatomy of oppression, which requires an anatomy of colonialism and imperialism, an anatomy of the American capitalist system. And if you were paying attention this weekend, the International Action Center had an incredible program on Lenin, because this is the anniversary for Lenin. And Lenin said way back then that the so-called democracies, the democratic country, had a joke of a two-party system. I am paraphrasing. Because both parties are supported by the same rich ruling class. So again, isn't it time to abandon the mythology system known as the two-party system? It's definitely time to abandon both Biden and Trump. And so we're going to start off this night, as we usually try to, acknowledging our warrior, Ralph Pointer. And again, technology is not well, folks, I'm sorry to say, it looks like I'm not going to be able to play what I had hoped to play. So while I'm trying to get back to it, I'm going to just go straight to our poets of the evening. And after the next poet, we're going to hope that we can get Mr. Pointer's tape to run for us. All right, Sister Julia, thank you for joining us. And we know you're calling from a long distance, and that I believe it's 2 a.m. where you are. So we're going to start off with you, because our comrade Louis, Professor Louis, is always accommodating. Sister Julia, your mic is open.
Thank you. I dream of a memorial wall for our fallen warriors. We are a land of walls, the thin blue wall of silence, the obscene see-through walls of inhumane execution chambers, the wall at the border, prison walls built to imperial order, soft target school walls, stone walls, pay walls, factory walls, human warehouse walls, the walls the deep state builds around Wall Street, gilded walls shielding the rich, crumbling walls, good for us, the throwaways. I dream of a memorial wall where we would write each killed freedom fighter's name and the tale of their new, of their now ancestral days. I dream of a memorial wall built with the very bricks taken down from the walls of apartheid here and worldwide. I just want to add a few words here on how the project of a poetic intifada was born. We all remember December 6th when Rafat Al-Arir was deliberately assassinated by a laser bombing targeting him and other members of his family. He had sought refuge in a UN school, but there received a phone call from Israeli intelligence telling him he had been located and threatening him. According to Electronic Intifada, Rifat Al-Arir, fearing the IDF would target the school because of his presence there, decided to take refuge at his nearby family home, where the apartment was bombed, killing him and several members of his family. Rifat Al-Arir was a brother in spirit with many of our political prisoners. The news of his assassination, along with the targeting of Palestinian civil leaders, teachers, artists, scholars, went around the world. Susan Abulhawa, a Palestinian-American activist, novelist, and poet, went on Instagram letting us know what a hole was in her heart. Her report on the death of her friend is a poem in and of itself. And that is how the idea of a poetic intifada was born among some of us in our political prisoners movement. A movement here in the belly of the beast to uphold and become the echo chamber of the words Palestinian poets, writers, rappers are harassed for writing and singing. Mumia said recently, there are no borders to consciousness. This is the mission statement of the poetic intifada. Ralph Poynter and Betty Davis are the ones who opened their radio show door to the poetic intifada. So would you consider sending your favorite Palestinian related poem, rap, spoken word to Sister Betty? If you can read the poem and send an audio file, that's preferred, but send it online anyway. And your poems in solidarity with Palestine are welcome. Thank you.
I thank you. We are still in the process. It is a work of art in the process of becoming so many things, so many warriors have transitioned, but we are in the process of collecting the portfolio, and this program will definitely be airing shortly. As I said before, our topic this evening is time to abandon the two-party system, because it's definitely time to abandon both Biden and Trump. We wanted you to hear our dear comrade who had some interesting thoughts on the subject.
Yes, what I'm going to talk about on Tuesday's program is the reality of the constant war on us. When I say us, I'm speaking of a descendant of an African captive brought to America. From day one, from when the Belgian Congo, when the Belgians discovered Africa and King Leopold, that was an opening of a vicious war of death and destruction of our people, and it is continued unabated to this point. And now we jump forward to today. What is happening today? What is happening today is the beginning of the economic or the beginning of the exposure. No need to hide anymore. The exposure of the economic war of the rich against the poor, the royalists against the Republicans. This is all of NATO, which is nothing different than the European imperial world, stretching out to capitalize, to take over the rest of the world. That is the third world, so-called. And so we see that all wars today are proxy wars. The wars of the wealthy NATO European imperialists against those people who have been colonized fighting back. We see Khartoum. What is that about? That is about two systems, a general who fronts for a European and American group opposed to a general who fronts for a Russian-Chinese group. And so another war proxy of proxies fighting for their resources in the world. Now the fact of the matter is the world has been organized into one large economy. And this is what complicates it. Splitting these economies is damn near impossible. But splitting the resources of the economies has to be done, and it's being done now. And so what we have here is, and this example I want all black people to think about, where are the European Ukrainians coming to in the United States? Tulsa, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Technical people who have skills in computers, etc., are being recruited for Oklahoma. Well, Tulsa, Oklahoma was a center with black people who had moved forward many years ago with the education system that they understood capitalism. And all of these children who have been denied an education coming out of Reconstruction, and I claim a big piece of public education comes from those out of ex-captives who wanted education for their children, following Frederick Douglass's words, education and slavery are incompatible.
Well, you have heard the words of Ralph Pointer, and what you understand is that this proxy war is not just being fought in Gaza, and it was fought before Gaza. When you hear about Khartoum, when you hear about the Ottoman Empire, you're talking in terms of the wars of those who are coming out of what they call Europe and dividing up the riches of the other continents and the indigenous peoples of those continents into colonial empires for their use and their bidding. And so when you look at who Biden is, and when you look at who Trump is, it's definitely time to abandon both of these positions, because these positions represent the colonial class of ruling class people. And the question is, whose side are you on? There was Tulsa, now we've got Cop City. There is Gaza. And if you pay attention to what's happening in Mississippi and what's happening in the United States, you're going to hear some reports about what's happening in the United States that's not making the news. Well, it's time we all understood whose side we're on. So without further ado, we're going to go to our next poet, and we have another guest tonight to continue this discussion. But we cannot do without Professor Louie and Sister Julia. And one of the things you must remember is that the poetry for our program has from the very beginning been dedicated to our political prisoners and to people who are struggling for freedom. And we do it to honor Lynn and to honor those in Gaza who are fighting to the death for their right to exist. Professor Louie, your mic is open. Thank you for joining us. I always need your solace and your words of wisdom.
Burning. The young bloods went in burning. There was no turning back. Jack down at Broadway and Grand. They had their Jim Johnsons in their hand. In a heartbeat, Rover, it was over. No one called Jehovah. The blood ran red, but the gold had fled. The whistle was blown, but the money had flown. The roller showed, but everyone had blowed with a tremendous stash. Thousands in cash that didn't last too long, that was spent and gone after getting it on for three solid weeks of big-time freaks, three solid weeks of party that was much more than hearty. New music, new clothes, new treats to put up the nose, new girls, new smoke, new pills, new coke, but ah, the dues that had to be paid, the sure enough blues when you're not afraid of the trap that was laid, the cage that was made for animals but filled with men, gone to the pen, some never gonna see the street again, buried alive in a hard rock jail, how to survive, no mail, no bail, buckets of tears, locked up for years, bricked up, tricked up, and sent up to die. Once the people could fly, but by and by, now it's clubs and chains, oceans of pain, the wasted lives piled one on top the other, once a month visit from your mother or brother, a living, breathing fatality in the hard, white hands of brutality, no family, no friends, no chance to make amends, nothing to defend, all coming to an end in the big house upstate, locked down behind iron gates in the cold steel jaws of the penitentiary, where we finally got to pause, 'cause it's elementary to know, fast or slow, when the young warriors feel the heat of the street through their feet, feel the need to beat sometimes and not always lose, feel the blues rising under the skin, the news coming in, maybe we can win, then now's the time to tell that we must study well the world around us, the darkness and power that's around us, trick bags shining in the sun, know well which way to run, know well which way to point the gun. If the weight must fall, and fall it must, don't let it fall right back on us. Before you dance out on the warpath in your trance or romance, better do the math before you step out with your truly righteous anger. Don't be another headbanger in a bar, some little ripoff of Ma and Pa, a little run for the money that won't go far. Before you step out with your truly righteous hatred, don't let it be you who's got to pay for it. Lost in a world with nothing for you, there is always something that you can do. The children need you, and you know it's true. You can let the children judge you. Grandma down the block needs you a lot, and you can let the children judge you. Your brother needs you, what you're going to say, and you can let the children judge you. Your sister needs you every day, and you can let the children judge you. Your daddy needs you, don't throw it away, and you can let the children judge you. Your mama needs you in every single way, and you can let the children judge you, all the children, near and far. The children need you out of the bar. The children need you with or without a car. The children need you just like you are, and you can let the children judge you.
Well, this is the issue for all of us. The question is, we fought a war against oppression, but what happened to our children? Did we bring them along to be able to read their world? To paraphrase Paulo Freire. Without further ado, we have the chairperson, the national chairperson for Jericho, and the Spirit of Mandela's is in the house, and he has a very interesting discussion he would like to hold with those of you who are present. And Professor Louis and Comrade Julia, we thank you both. Brother Jihad Abdul-Mumit, your mic is open and welcome.
Thank you, my dear sister Betty. Appreciate you so very much, and thank you, listening audience, and thank you, Sister Julia, and thank you, Brother Louis, for your wonderful poetry and Fatata poetry. I hope people respond by sending their poetry and maybe their own words as relates to our sisters and brothers and what's going on in Palestine. So I appreciate that so much. So I begin with always, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. What Sister Betty is referring to is an initiative that's on the way, and I'll try to bullet explain it. There's quite a bit, so just give me about a good 5 minutes and then I'm off. This strategy is there's a situation where we are responding to the genocide that we're seeing in real time, social media, live streaming of 100 children being killed today, nurses and doctors and press people, United Nations workers, fathers and husbands and uncles and aunts and mothers. Out of the 30,000 so people that's killed already, and maybe more now, half of them are women and children. We see the Israeli armed forces targeting women and children and citizens, violation of every conceivable violation of war crimes, if even imaginable. We're witnessing the United States government unabashed, proudly support and sending billions of dollars to Israel, as they always have, but now it's targeted really to support their genocide. And here we are. What we are left with oftentimes is responding to the protest, which is spectacular, you know, and that's what everybody should, but in your own health capacity, but on your own personal capacities, every time there's a protest, we should be out there waving our Palestinian flags and demanding a ceasefire. But we know there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that in terms of us building our own infrastructure to be able to prevent genocide, period, in the future, and also to prevent the genocide that's happening to black and brown and indigenous people right here in the United States. That type of genocide is invisibilized. It's institutionalized. It's historic. It's systemic. It's part of our culture to be killed in such a way because what's happening to black, brown, and indigenous people over the last 400 years is in total violation of the 1948 United Nations Protocols Against the Prevention and the Crime of Genocide. We are victims too. All right, so in addressing that, so here's a strategy I'm not proposing, I'm explaining because it's already in the mix. This is not an idea. This is what's happening, and it's getting ready to be launched. So we're going to boycott the presidential elections of the Democrat and Republican candidates. And listen carefully to what I'm saying. So for all of our people that have fought and bled and struggled for the right to vote, we're not undermining that. We're not suggesting that you don't vote. That's the whole thing about voting. It's more than a conversation. You cannot tell somebody not to vote and you don't have one single shred of infrastructure in your own community to be able to develop policy, protect yourself, feed yourself, to address any issues. So that's not what's happening. So what's happening here is we have to make a radical standing protest about what the United States government, Republican and Democrats, is doing. And that's not every Democrat in there. I know there's people in Congress that are calling for the ceasefire. So this is not invisibilizing you, it's saluting you. But we're talking about the machine itself. So when we know that when it comes to policy and decision making, it's more than just the puppet head president. We know it has a lot to do with the workings of Congress. We know it has to do with a lot of the workings of the Senate. But in 8 to 9 months leading up to the November elections, we are going to boycott. They're calling for the boycott of the genocide Joe, and whatever reactionary racist Republican that they put up there. And that we are encouraging you to go to the polls and vote, but not for them. Because we have to make a radical position for the world to see. So far, we haven't done that. We're still paying tax money that goes into feeding the war machine, that goes into supplying Israel with weapons, and the rest of the world's looking at us do that. The rest of the world's looking at our Palestinian brothers and sisters organized in a very stellar revolutionary way, massive protests across the country. But the black, brown, and indigenous movements, we're not at the table, not like we should be. So this is a process that will begin to put us at the table of not only protest, but infrastructure building in a place called the United States of America. So not only are we calling for you, if you do vote, if you don't vote and say, well, I don't vote anyway, then step to the side and go on and do what you're doing. Step to the side and go on doing what you're doing. I hope it works. And I'm not being funny, but I'm definitely being real. I don't even vote anyway. Well, good for you. Go on and do what you're doing, and I hope it works. But what we're talking about having people go to the polls and vote. You can vote for anybody, any party that you want to, except the duality has been mentioned on this show already. It's only a protest to make a statement, just like your demonstrations in the street is a protest to make a statement, educate people, and organize what this is doing. And so not only are we calling for you not to vote for Republican or Democrat when it comes to the presidents, whoever these two reactionaries are, because it truly doesn't matter, but we're asking you to go there so that we don't relinquish our right to vote in the event that whatever we organize in this country, if we have our own party, if we have our own People's Senate, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, we might have to do some voting. So we don't want to relinquish the fact that we might have to do some voting. And if you don't think that we're going to do some voting, then I guess that you better grease up your AR-15 and get ready to put in some work. If you're not ready to do that, then step aside again, because it's either the ballot or the bullet. And I don't think you're ready to do too much shooting. Surprise me. Surprise the hell out of me. Surprise the hell out of me. Grease up your AR-15 and get ready to do some shooting, because you say I'm not going to vote and you ain't greased up your AR-15, then step the hell aside. Real talk. So here's what we're doing. We're boycotting the presidential election when it comes to Democrat and Republican Party. When you go to the polls to vote, and this time you should go, because it's all a political strategy, sisters and brothers, all tactics and strategies. We're not going to win the revolution tomorrow. We're not going to win it in 2024, 2025, 2026. Pretty much guaranteed. I guess you know that, right? It's all a protracted struggle. But the short range is to protest the election. Go and vote. Vote for anybody. Alternative parties. Vote for your grandmother. Vote for yourself. If you do a hard ballot, put in Free Palestine. Whatever. But we want to show up and massively to say that we do recognize our right to vote, and we're not voting for you anymore. And I know there's more to it, you know, with congressmen and senators, but this is just a protest. And we can't cover all those bases, and don't ask me to try. Don't ask me to try, because you know it's not realistic. But this is what we can do, and it will make a statement. So around the country, we have our own town hall meetings. There's already protesters in various forms that's boycotting the elections in various ways. We're going to hook up with them. We're going to hook up with the churches and the mosques and the anarchists and the communists and the nationalists. You can join or not, and this is a mass movement. And we're asking our Palestinian organizers to support us as we build our own movement inside a place called the United States. Because when the genocide is done in Gaza, we'll be left with the same situation and garbage and repression, exploitation, social denigration, and political repression inside our own communities, our same police brutality, same killing of black people, same mass incarceration. When the genocide in Gaza is over, we'll be faced with the same shit. Pardon my language. So along with the protests, we're going to be building a people's senate. At the end of the day, and I'm almost done, Sister Betty, at the end of the day, we're going to have another layer of government that we're going to usher in as people in this country, as people in this country. You got the United States Senate, blah, and we got the House of Representatives, blah, and we're going to develop our own Senate. And why not? And why not? And so the People's Senate is designed to network organizations, grassroots organizations, academics, clergy, activists, brothers and sisters in the hood, working class people across the country to form their own representation across a place called the United States of America. So that's what we're doing. So we're protesting and we're building. We're just not protesting and not doing any building. Because if you just protest and go home and you're not dealing with issues of our own governance, then we're coming up short. We're coming up short. And the worst place to be in is the same place you were in last year socially and politically. And last year, we were in the same place we were in this year so far, because we haven't grown a bit. We haven't grown a bit. We've had a lot of webinars, a lot of talks. We haven't grown a bit. You probably don't have a garden in your backyard. If you do, good for you, but your neighbor doesn't. We haven't grown a bit to be able to deal with any question of self-governance. So what this is calling for, once again, is an organizing tool. We're asking you to join in. You can join in through contacting Sister Betty or myself, jihadabdulmumit@gmail.com, and you can join in with the critical examination of this strategy. We are welcoming every and everybody. Even if you're opposed, we'd like to hear your respectful critique of it, because I'm not bullheaded, but it is a strategy that's going to happen regardless. So it's an organizing tool. We're going to organize around the People's Senate. We are willing to work with similar strategies with other organizations, 334 million people in the United States, and everybody has a different thing going on. So those who like-mindedness, we want to connect with them. It's not the only show in town, but it is a serious show in town. And the world needs to see our strength, black, brown, and indigenous people's strength. They need to see our strength. They just don't need to see us coming to a demonstration and going home and wait for somebody else to tell us when the next demonstration is. And we're not even doing anything to nationally build our movement, our strength, our resilience. So this does not call for you to give up anything as far as your organizations are concerned. Hang on to your mission statements. Hang on to your vision. Hang on to your own tactics and strategies, but we're asking you to support this and take no skin off your back if you go to election poll and vote for yourself. It's not counter-revolutionary. You're not going to be called to Uncle Tom. You're not going to be called out. Nobody's going to shoot at you. It doesn't matter if Biden or Trump get in. There are other issues in the election. There's the border issue. There's employment. There's crime. There's LGBTQ. There's abortion. I know the president, but this. The worst human rights violation ever is genocide, because genocide involves rape, killing, murder, mayhem, the destruction of a race, a culture. If that happens to any one person, that's reprehensible. But when it happens in mass, that's called genocide. That is all the worst things that could happen to a person, all the worst things that can happen to a person that's happened to a mass population. And we're witnessing it not only in Gaza, but many other places in Africa, too, that needs to be addressed. But the reason why Gaza and Palestine take the headlines so much because it is, because it really, it can cause a world conflagration, a World War III, actually. Black killing blacks in the Congo, some neocolonial scheme, half the world probably doesn't even notice it, but we should notice it, but that's another subject. But the Gaza situation, everybody on the street, from a homeless person to anybody, you have to draw a line on the sand where you stand on this, because you can lose your job. You know, there's 37 states in the United States. You can't even boycott Israeli product. Oddly enough, you can boycott any American product that you want. There's something wrong with that. But anyway, we're calling for you to step up, you know, to email me if you want to know more information, jihadofdumumin@gmail.com. Thank you, Sister Betty. It's a project already in motion. If you already know of other boycotts, put us in touch with that. We got to send a serious message to not only our own people, but to the rest of the world. It's an organizing tool that will lead us into building a people's senate. We hope that you be in tune with that. I'll leave my mic open. Sister Betty wants me to come on to re-explain something. I so much appreciate it. Many organizations are already involved. This is just not a one-man show, and you would be surprised who's involved. So it's, when the hashtag comes out, don't be guilty of tailism, wondering what to do, scratching your head and figuring out what to do when there's action already on the street. More than a protest, it's about building our own infrastructure in a place called the United States. We're not doing that the way we should, and this gives us an opportunity to do that. I thank you so much. Appreciate once again Brother Louis and Sister Julia, and definitely you, my queen, Sister Betty Davis, and listening audience. I end as I begin with a sincere assalamu alaikum, peace of Allah be upon each and every one of you. Amen.
We are so indebted to you for joining us this evening and for being in solidarity. I just want to remind those of you who've been listening to Ralph Pointer What's Happening for a couple of years now, you know, he said to us, stop being political slaves. A slave is someone that labors from sunup to sundown and gets nothing in return. A political slave is someone that labors for a party, whichever party it is, and gets nothing. Every 4 years, the Democrats promise us this and promise us that. But they take the money, go for the social welfare state, and they give it to the Ukraine, and they give it to Israel, and they use it to kill and maim and bomb, but not in our name. And this is what Brother Jihad is trying to say to you. However, he is not saying you should not vote. If Charles ran for dog catcher, I would vote for him because he has a proven track record. Anyone on a local level, do not give up the local elections. If this city council person delivered for the homeless, delivered for housing, delivered to stop police brutality, then you can vote for them. But we're talking about the clowns that represent the ruling class at the top. For instance, what's the difference between Eric Adams and Sliwa? I think that was the choice they gave us a couple of years ago. Tell me, based on what done recently, is the difference between those two. So this is what our brother is talking about, and I know more people want to say something, but for goodness sake, take back your colony. Run for the local school district where you live. If you don't have a child, if you don't have a grandchild, then be a guardian. Let the mother sign you down as a guardian and run for that local school board. Take back your local school board. Protect your public schools. If you want to run for something that matters, run for a position in the school district where you live and get rid of mayoral control of the public school system. Stop them from giving our public school monies to corporations, and that's what a charter school is. So I'm going to get off for a few seconds because Sister Ann wants to talk. Brother Sayedo's in the wings, Brother Hagen, and all your usual suspects are waiting to talk to you. Please remember what we're saying. Don't be a political slave. Don't do all this labor for this so-called two-party system, which Malcolm told you was twiddly-dee and twiddly-dumb, and still every year you get nothing. Sister Ann, thank you for waiting. Your mic is open. And Brother Jihad, we're going to keep your mic open as well.
Well, thank you so much, Sister Betty. Always an honor and a privilege. Very interesting discussion. I don't want to start with some more sad news, but we do have some more sad news. We lost our comrade sister, Paula Peebles, from the Philadelphia chapter of the Black Panther Party. She joined the ancestors on January 21st.
Oh, so that will be
another services to be announced. But we say presente to Sister Paula Peebles, who did a tremendous amount of work and continued to do work up until the time that she passed. So just that's a little sad news. And then talking about news that nobody covers, and I don't know how many people know that there have been a bunch of prisoners at the Red Onion State Prison in Virginia, more than 30, who have been in solitary confinement, and they've been on a hunger strike since December 26, 2023, okay? So that's almost a month now where they have not been eating any food. There's been a lot of outcry from the public and prisoner population in the state because what they're protesting, of course, is the continued use of torturous long-term solitary confinement. So that is a very important thing. And one of the people leading this effort is our friend and brother, Kevin Rashid Johnson, who is a longtime prison activist, a revolutionary writer, and a tremendous artist. So this has been going on for a while, and we're encouraging people to make phone calls and email to various Virginia docs folk, all of which is up on jerichoNY.org. You don't have to go very far. It's right on the first page. We did get an update from one of Rashid's outside supporters just from yesterday. It says, quick update on Rashid and other Red Onion hunger strikers. I received a call this morning from a comrade who was originally part of the strike that ended up taking food so he could be released back to General Pop in order to call me. This is what the comrade has to say. The prison officials have completely removed the phone from back in the medical wing to prevent strikers from calling out to update us on the strike, which is why he had to break the strike so he could call. Rashid is still striking and was rushed to the hospital again over the weekend, but has since been returned to the medical wing. They have him in a strip cell on quote-unquote suicide watch with a guard posted out front watching him. I want to be very clear about this part. Rashid will not hurt himself. They're only doing this to intimidate and antagonize him. He's being held in a cell with no access to running water. His only source of water is the toilet. So we're thankful to everyone who's supporting this effort, standing in solidarity with Rashid and the other brothers on the inside. Phone calls and emails should continue, and there is a sample script. So I would encourage people to really put the heat on these people. Either doing an all-day thing today of calling in to various of these folks and also emailing them. They're complaining that they're getting too many phone calls. So let's keep it up. I mean, Rashid really needs to be somewhere where he's near a medical center so he can continue his treatment for his cancer and his congestive heart failure. And I'm sure some of the other brothers are also not in good shape. And then the other thing that nobody is talking about, which is really amazing, and which just started coming out on January 10th, is back in Jackson, Mississippi, it has been found that there's a bunch of people who have been buried in a field behind a prison whose family members were never informed that they had even died. Now, we originally had said 215. No. 672 bodies have been dumped in the ground behind Hinds County Jail in Jackson, Mississippi. 215 of them have been identified, all right? But nobody notified family members of their burials or even their deaths. So bodies in the pauper's graves, some of which were only identified by a number and marked with a metal rod, belonged to people whose families have reported them missing. However, authorities in Jackson had not, quote, notified them that their loved ones' bodies had been found or they had been buried. Family members are now being told they could have to pay out hundreds of dollars in fines to retrieve the bodies to give their loved ones a proper funeral. Civil rights attorney Ben Crump, who's been doing a lot of cases lately, is advocating for justice on behalf of the relatives and friends of the individuals buried outside the jail, and he's representing six family members who were never informed of their relatives' deaths. Obviously, we're seeing a pattern in practice, negligence, and worse, unconstitutional and criminal activities. It's just horrific that they put them in the ground in a bag in the first place. But it's even worse when people are trying to ask you to assist, and you won't assist them in locating their loved one, even though they're in the back of your jail. This is Mr. Crump speaking. The message is very simple. We have to be able to exhume and identify all of these individuals because they had a mother and father, a son or daughter, or a relative who loved them and needs to know whether their loved one is still missing or if their loved one is one of these 672 dead people behind the Hinds County Jail. These graves are generally dug by inmates at the nearby prison, and the bodies are buried in bags rather than coffins. In one case, the family of 40-year-old Mario Moore did not learn about his death until 3 months afterwards, after his name appeared on a list of undisclosed homicide victims published by a local television station. The death of Mr. Moore, who was found wrapped in a tarpaulin, was ruled a homicide due to blunt force to the head. He was buried behind the jail on July 14th. However, his family was not notified by the police or the coroner's office. One mother of a missing man, Jonathan David Hankins, only found out about her son's death and burial a year and 7 months after she reported him missing. Gretchen Hankins said her 39-year-old son was reported missing to the Rankin County Sheriff's Office in July 2022, and his photograph posted on the police department's Facebook page as a missing person. Yet although Mr. Hankins was buried in the pauper's grave in 2022, the family only found out where he was or that he had in fact died in 2023. They said they were looking, but they weren't looking too hard, Gretchen Hankins said. I want them to lose their jobs because they didn't do their job. In an even more shocking case, Bettison Wade spent 7 months searching for her son, Dexter Wade, last year before discovering he had died after being hit by a police car while crossing a six-lane highway and buried in an unmarked grave without his family being informed. A father of two teenage daughters, Mr. Wade, 37 years old, went missing on March 5th last year, and despite his mother reporting him missing, Jackson police reportedly failed to inform her he had been fatally struck by a police car less than an hour after leaving home. His body was identified because he had a bottle of prescription medication in his pocket, but his family was never contacted, and after 4 months of being left unclaimed in the city morgue, he was buried in the pauper's grave. Mr. Wade was eventually given a funeral by his family 8 months after his death. Late last year, Jackson Mayor, who we know very well, Chuck Leonta Lumumba, apologized for Ms. Wade's situation, but said there were no indications of police misconduct or malicious intent against the dead man or his family. I'm surprised at you, Chakwe. It is tragic to lose your child, he said. It is tragic to suffer the consequences of having to bury your child before you pass. But to add insult to that trauma, it is even more difficult to not have the ability to have a proper burial for your child. And for that, we regret the circumstance that Mr. Wade's family has had to deal with. Local news outlets have published lists of the identities of the bodies believed to be buried in the numbered graves to allow family members of missing persons to check for their loved ones. The litany of mistakes made by law enforcement authorities in Jackson did not just mean that bodies of people relatives already knew were dead were buried in unmarked graves without a proper funeral, although this would have been bad enough. Many of the families of these people did not know they were dead at all. Most have reported their loved ones missing with police documents to prove it. Many of those will have still been holding out hope their family members would one day reappear, which is obviously not going to happen. So this is really an incredibly amazing and disgusting situation, and really somebody needs to be held to account for it.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you. We're airing these stories today to make you understand where you are. When you look at what happens to Gaza, all these bodies being placed in the grounds of the hospital, unmarked graves. Tell me the difference. Tell me the difference. Wherever the colonial empire is, there is death, destruction, and mayhem, and the politicians do not have accountability. And even though it may have been Chuck Way, it is also the system that we are talking about. We're not just attacking individuals. We're not talking about individualism. We're talking about community control over a system. Thank you, Sister Ann, and we're going to move right along. We're going to go swiftly to, I see one of our comrades is in the house, and he usually has to jump and run. Brother Tag, did you want to make a quick announcement? Your mic is open.
Peace, Sister Betty. Greatly appreciated. I just had called to listen in primarily, and I was able to catch the comrade laying out this electoral plan and approach, as well as Sister Ann's update on the conditions under prison slavery. And so I'll keep it concise. I just want to make sure that we all heard, you know, especially in the context of this electoral work that will be a part of the overall counter-genocidal work that we're continuing to do and that we need to ramp up, especially as we go into not only the U.S. Fraudulent presidential election, but dozens of different electoral campaigns throughout the globe. So there's a lot of confusion that on the grassroots level we're going to need to clarify. And as Brother Jihad laid out very clearly, we're going to need to be organized and co-organize around so that we can really be effective in this year and moving forward. And I just want to highlight, you know, when we're talking about the genocide that goes on in Palestine and here, you know, in the domestic colonies of U.S. empire, you know, I mean, an example like Brother Kevin Rashid Johnson only having access to toilet water, I think that should be a very concentrated and clear example for anyone that is hearing this broadcast as far as how genocide operates on the ground in 2024 in Palestine, in these dungeons of prison slavery, in the belly of the beast of U.S. empire, and in between, you know. And so rather than us making separations or attempting to gauge and compare, you know, who is facing the worst of the genocide, we just need to be clear on who is actually conducting the genocide and what kinds of lengths they're willing to go on an individual and collective level. So definitely we got to continue to keep pressure on Red Onion and all of these death camps and zones of enslavement here as well as across Palestine and again all across anywhere where the disgusting myth of U.S. imperialism and global genocide can find themselves. You know, there's no depth to the mendacity through which they're willing to conduct this monstrous behavior. So I just shout to you, Sister Betty, and to the broadcast as a whole, as always, and just wanted to listen in, and I'll continue to do so.
Thank you so much. I want to remind you that Sister Ann gave you the statistics for that prison. Well, we call them death camps for a reason. I have always called them death camps. We must recognize that this is just one prison and that the United States has the largest prison population in the world. Yes, more than Russia. Yes, more than China. Yes, more than Korea. The United States has the largest prison population in the world. I also want to remind you that our infant mortality rate is one of the highest. We have the infant mortality rate as black people of a so-called third world country. Now, you put that statistic together with the incarceration death rate and what they are doing to the families of these people when they are separated and cannot raise their children. This is all-out war. And this is why Brother Jihad and the rest of us are saying, don't be political slaves. If you walk up to the average African-American and say, you know, you're a slave, right? And they'll look at you and say, I ain't got no chains on me. Well, you don't have chattel slavery. You've got a worse slavery. You've got the new slavery. We just went from one form of slavery to another form of slavery. And that's why we're saying, don't be a political slave. Don't vote where you don't get results for your vote. And so without further ado, we want to open up the mic of Brother Sayeto. We want to give him a chance to give us some reports to reinforce the statistics that we have already given you. And we need you to pay attention and try to retain this information. So I hope Brother Sayeto is still with us. hope I did not drop his call. Okay, he seems to have dropped off, so we're going to move right along, and we're going to get a report from Brother Kazi, Boston Jericho in the house. Oh, I'm sorry, I see it. Forgive me, Kazi. He didn't have a number. Brother Sierra, I'm trying to open up your mic now. Please forgive the delay.
That's okay. I know your fingers can't be everywhere at one time.
No, the studio is different.
That's okay.
For you
that's
when
okay.
you get when you have a email link. Go right
it's
ahead,
okay.
Brother Sierra. Give us your
Uhuru.
Your
Uhuru. A dynamic.
Thank you. Thank you for understanding.
Dynamic broadcast tonight. One of unity and organization. I'm not going to say a whole lot, but what I'm about to say is that it is true. We do need to step up our game. I like the idea of what Comrade Jihad mentioned, which was give them a reason at the grassroots level to go out and vote, but to vote for ourselves, to vote for things, not things, because we get a lot of things, but to vote for our own agency, our own institution. And that is the only way to do it is by rebelling, stepping up the game. Protesting will not get it. Protesting will not get it at the end of the day. We are being genocided everywhere. It's been mentioned, Sudan. It's been mentioned in Liberia. It's been mentioned here. We all know what the problems are. I like some of these suggestive responses in terms of answers. This is what Ralph strove for. It's what Sister Betty strove for. We on the shoulders of those who wanted us to do better. Remember your mama used to say, well, I'm going to raise you this way because I want you to do better than what I did. Not in some colonial mindset, but better to raise a nation of Africans. We are the most downtrodden on this planet, alongside the Palestinians and anyone else. We're thinkified, as you would say, my sister. So I unite with what Comrade Jihad said. And I don't agree with everything I hear. But more than anything, I heard more of what I do agree with than I do not agree with. That's most important. That's where we begin to work as a collective. You say organizing, forming a group as one, like one glove, one fist in that glove. That's when we begin to grow. But the mindsets have to be not about me, but about all of us. And I'll say that, and I'll say Uhuru. Oh.
Thank you, Brother.
Go to hands off. Ooh. Yeah, let me finish this real quick. Go to hand. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Go to handsoffuhuru.org. Go to events. Sign on as well. This is how we get to work together. To choose a task, as we are choosing the task that we all agree on, the task being that you get those, you tell us how to do those ballots. Do you have any handbills or anything of that nature? Please put them online. With regards to what I'm suggesting and teaming up with is that we have to build together, but we can't be arrogant in our moves. We can't think it's all about us or me. And I say that with some wisdom. I love what I heard. Handsoffuhuru.org. Go to, again, events. And go to sign the document that you're supporting the freeing of the Uhuru 3. We've not yet heard anything as of a court date, although we were looking for the mid-February. But it's not come yet. They've not even answered the quest for dismissal. So they've been ignoring us since September. I'll say that. Love you all, comrades. Uhuru.
Uhuru. All right, Brother Kazi, your mic is open.
Thank you, Sister Betty, and everybody, Julie Wright, and everybody that's come before, especially
Louis, Jihad, and the brother just spoke. You know, like I want to extend something on to what Jihad was talking about, you know, and say, you know, like maybe, you know, in the write-ins, right? When people vote, maybe they keep the light on political prisoners. They vote for Leonard and Mumia, you know, put in Leonard's name and Mumia's name and see if that shakes something up. Maybe we ought to, like, think about having a conference of all people doing political prisoner work and prison work in general to booster the push for people's Senate. Their lives are strength, you know, because
right.
From Palestine to Africa to here, right here, to genocide's going on. Right on. Peace.
Right on. Thank you. Without further ado, we're going to try to open up for one of our comrades who's with the Republic of New Africa. We don't know if they want to make a comment. 2863, Brother Saddam, your mic is open.
Thank you very much, Mama Betty. And I just want to say thank you to Baba Jihad and everyone else that also shared, Baba Kazi. I just want to reiterate also what Kazi just said and what Baba Jihad also reiterated as far as the People's Senate. We all need to be in support of the People's Senate, and that's an excellent idea, putting Leonard's name and putting Mumia's name and maybe surround that initiative, certainly around people that are doing political prisoner of war work, and I think that'll be an excellent edge. And also thank you everybody else for sharing. It's an excellent show. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We're going to move right along, and we have someone who's been paying attention to the news, but before we get to them, the last four digits are 4233. Did you want to make a comment before we move on? 4233. The first three numbers are 985. Did you want to make a comment? 4233. Your mic is open. Did you want to make a comment?
Yes. Good evening, Sister Betty. Oh, my goodness. I've been inundated with all of this that's going on, but I am so happy to be on the show with you all tonight. I just want to let you know that I love you, and I'm going to just be, you know, thinking about you and Brother Raph and the great work that you all are doing, and I'm just happy to be a part of it. So I just want to listen in to the show tonight. I had an opportunity to jump on thanks to Sereo that's keeping me informed, well informed of what's been going on with what's happening. So thank you so much for allowing me to speak.
Yes, we thank you because Louisiana was the last bridge that Brother Ralph wanted to cross, and it broke his heart that his house did not allow him to return to fight that fight. But if we can, we're not going to ever let that story die. And I thank you for getting on. I'm honored that you continue to get on. Thank you so much.
Well, wonderful. Spirit lives on here, and we're going to keep things moving and well and alive with what needs to happen here in Louisiana. So I'm definitely going to be keeping you informed. It's a lot going on, and I hope
I've been
some updates real soon.
Okay. Thank you, my sister. Thank you. Want to remind people that the Black is Back Coalition sponsors an electoral school. Yes, they train people to run for office. And so you don't have to vote for the two idiots on top, but do not let the local politicians off the hook. Hold their feet to the fire, even if you have to run for yourself. And the Black is Back Coalition will work with you. I want to open up the mic for the last four digits are 9917, first three digits are 551. Did you want to make a comment before we move on? 551 is the first three digits.
Peace. This is Tag again.
I'm sorry, I didn't recognize the number. I'm not doing well tonight, folks. Forgive me. Okay, we're going to go to Brother Henry, who's in the house tonight. And we always appreciate it when one of our local folks gives us what time it is. Brother Henry, your mic is open.
Thank you, Sister Betty, and good evening, sisters and brothers. I'd like to share with the group tonight, an article coming out of Oakland, California, written by Dave Welsh. Thousands shut down port to demand Gaza ceasefire. Block the boat protesters calling for a ceasefire in the 100-day-old Israeli military assault on Gaza shut down the port of Oakland starting at 5 a.m. on January 13th. Mass picket lines were honored by members of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union Locals 10 and 34 who refused to cross the lines. Protesters said they were attempting to block the loading of a U.S. military ship ferrying weapons from the West Coast to Israel, as well as to stop the genocide in Gaza. On January 11th, in another act of solidarity with Palestine, the government of South Africa presented charges of genocide against Israel before the International Court of Justice. The Israeli regime has killed at least 24,000 Palestinians in Gaza since October 7th and wounded 60,000 people, two-thirds of them women and children. South Africa's charges were filed in The Hague, Netherlands. One of the key fighting organizations during the South African freedom struggle, the Congress of South African Trade Unions, or COSATU, has said multiple times that as bad as apartheid had been in South Africa, it is worse for the Palestinians under Israeli apartheid domination. In addition, the book Unspoken Alliance, Israel's Secret Relationship with Apartheid South Africa, documents Israel's provision of arms, including nuclear weapons, to the racist South African government in the 1970s and 1980s to combat the rising South Africa freedom movement at the time. Now South Africa is calling out the Israeli regime for genocide against the people of Palestine. As early as 1962, ILW members staged a boycott of apartheid South Africa cargo picketing on the docks of San Francisco. In the late 1970s, after the 1976 Soweto massacre by the racist government, the ILWU protested the docking of the Ned Lloyd Kimberley, which was carrying South African cargo in various ports. Then in 1984, the ILWU refused to handle South African cargo for 11 days until the Ned Lloyd Kimberley docked in San Francisco. With that dramatic act, the anti-apartheid movement spread like wildfire across the United States, especially on college campuses. The recent Block the Boat action continues the decades-long history of class solidarity between West Coast longshore workers and workers living under apartheid in both South Africa and occupied Palestine. And that ends the article I wanted to share with you this evening. But the need to continue protesting against Gaza, the Israeli effort at genocide needs to continue, and we need to maintain our solidarity with oppressed people everywhere. So thank you for
thank
this
you,
opportunity.
Comrade Henry. One of the things I want to remind people of, and Brother Jihad, I'm going to let you have a few comments before we go to Brother Joel. When we are protesting for Gaza, we have to recognize that we are protesting for ourselves. So we should use one of the phrases that the International Action Center uses. We want to stop the wars abroad and at home, because we opened up with Brother Ralph telling us they are at war with us. They have never stopped being at war with us. Our infant mortality rate proves this. Our statistics for being the largest group in prison, the death camps, proves this. Our statistics for death during homelessness, to take for instance, the state of Chicago, on any winter night in Chicago, 300 to 400 bodies are picked up frozen stiff who are homeless. So those statistics are only going to escalate because of the gentrification on a mass scale, which is ethnic cleansing that's going on in this country. When Brother Jihad tells you, when I'm telling you, when Ralph told you, it's time to abandon this myth system of a two-party system. It's time to make sure we sit on our hands for both Biden and Trump. I want to open up the mic for Brother Joe, but before I do, I want to know if 7785, did you want to make a comment? Last four digits, 7785, did you want to make a comment?
Yes, let me make a comment here from the Freedom and Justice Fighters here in Ohio. The program has been extremely informative and important tonight. beginning with Brother Jihad's explanation. And I just want to emphasize two points already well made tonight. And one is we should definitely, everyone should definitely look into the People's Senate and see how they can connect with it, not to join the organization or anything, yourself as individuals or your organizations that you're working with in your own town and city, you know, connect with that People's Senate, because this can become and will become the framework for us to move all the struggles that any individual organization is moving on, move it all forward. So definitely do that. The other thing I just want to emphasize again is when Sister Ann was speaking about what's going on in Red Onion Prison and the hunger strikers and Comrade Kevin Rashid, people, there's so many things to do and so many things talked about today, but people definitely, please, go to the New York Jericho website, get that address and phone number, and take that 5 or 10 minutes or however long it takes you, half an hour, take that time to notify those prison authorities, so-called authorities, those that are on hunger strike, you know, speak about it, complain about it, demand that they be given the medical treatment and the issues that they're fighting for. You know, reach out and do that, because it's just a phone call, just a little bit of time, but people's lives literally, you know, can be saved and can be, you know, torture can be ended on some level, at least, if we take the initiative and effort to do it. If some hundreds of us do it tomorrow, that's what I'm asking all of us to do. Otherwise, everything is being said very well. I don't want to take up any more time, and let me leave it at that. And let me also say, of course, free them all.
Thank you. Thank you. Free them all. Brother Jihad, before we go to the last speaker, did you want to make some more comments on the comments this evening?
Yes, I think everybody's, thank you, Sister Betty, and everybody again. And everybody's comments is really in support of each other, which is amazing and so empowering. I just want to give a call out to anybody that's listening or that you know somebody that's really social media savvy, because we really want to blitz these strategies out there. And so I know I'm 69. I ain't the best. You know, I know how to send a letter in the mail, but but I, anybody that's listening, if you can hit me up, Jihad Abdulmumit, J-I-H-A-D, Abdul, you know how to spell Abdul, Mumit, M-U-M-I-T, at Gmail, or just get with Sister Betty or Kazi, anybody, or Sister Ann that you know, and they'll put you in touch with me. Anybody that's social media savvy, so we can utilize Instagram and TikTok and all these other mediums when we get to the point of crafting the best narrative and hashtag to send out there and give life to that. So I'm just asking for that request to the listening audience. So other than that, straight ahead.
Thank you, Brother Jihad. We want to go to Professor Joel Myers, who's been studying the political scheme for and the political scene in this country for quite some time. Brother Joel, thank you for your patience. Your mic is open. Brother Joel, your mic is open.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. We know you have not been well of late, but that you still managed to hang in there with our broadcast and to educate us.
Well, it's I think that we've been treated today to an extraordinary analysis and a call to action and sort of a directive of how to strategize our actions in the light of the so-called election, because it's not, I say so-called, it's not really an election. It's a selection in which the ruling class of corporations and bankers and militarists and they put forward a so-called alternative. There are two candidates or two parties that both represent the interests of those that are robbing us blind all the time, not only here in the United States, but even more so around the around the world, and he suggested that we should vote if we can't deliver something more directly revolutionary, but not to vote for our enemies and not to lead people to have any confidence that either one of the enemies that may become president could be a lesser evil. Once they become president, they'll be wielding all the evil that they can. Even if there may be some concession, like one of them robs us of our, let's say 5,000 lives a day or something like that around the world, genocide, and the other one only 4,500 a day, how can we give our approval and confidence by voting for these people, saying that we want these people to be in charge, even though if we can't intervene with the truly revolutionary methods, then probably one of them will be in charge. But they're in charge of robbing and looting and raping and torturing the oppressed around the world, and we can't show, we can't educate the people to revolt against this if we express any bit of confidence in one or the other, even as the so-called lesser evil. And I think that we shouldn't just be watching the enemy candidates. We should be going to, because these, when they make speeches, when they do campaign stops, they're attracting a lot of attention by the general public, the part of the public that at least thinks to a certain degree about the important issues. And we should be there with a loud presence that can't be silenced to confront and disrupt these fraudulent presentations and circuses of lies and falsehoods and so on. We should be there to give a real message to the people while their attention is focused there. And I believe that whatever else is done in the election, that's the important thing, is to bring the message out so that people are prepared to hear how they're being lied to and how these they're being lied to in to cover up their mass global criminality against the bulk of the people around the world, that we have to, and in that way, our voices can get out not only to the people that may be at the rallies or watching on TV or something. It goes around the world, and it gives hope to people in the world, because it shows that the United States is really is not really united. It's the divided state. It's divided between the oppressed and the oppressors, and those who wind up actually fighting, whether it's with the words of the campaign or the political advantages that are sought by the various candidates. We can tell people what the fight is really over, and begin to consolidate an opposition that's opposed to the entire system of capitalism. And let's remember that it's racist, sexist, homophobic, capitalism that discriminates. Those are only some of the leading dimensions of their discrimination and attempts to divide people. They want us to be fighting each other, and we have to unite to fight the system. It's one of the slogans that we used to talk about when we were out there fighting police in the streets, in the demonstrations around Tompkins Square Park, which many people may have heard of. This was an insurrectionary movement which united renters and squatters and homeless people against the gentrification of the section of New York, and also embodied a lot of worldwide consciousness about destroying the whole system and replacing it with a truly human system that's based on human needs instead of continued profits by those who have already amassed the control and possession of the bulk of the properties in the world, and especially the productive properties which we work in and which we have built. And so the slogan was fight the system, not each other. And we had another one of class war, not race war, because that's what they want to get us into, again, fighting each other. Build an army of the poor. And we united a very significant portion of the neighborhood, and those embers are still hot and burning. And it's an example of how people can get together and be out there in the streets fighting on one level or another, and also get the message out about what we're fighting about and what we want everybody to jump in. I mean, virtually everybody. We don't expect most of the oppressors to jump in, but even they, if they have a human conscience, they should. If they're people of a certain amount of wealth and so on, they should be contributing their money to a struggle to achieve real humanity instead of just going along with the crimes that are behind all the great fortunes. So I say we have to be active, and in this election, we have to be confrontational. Don't let a campaign rally go by without a real effort to get the message out and to enable people to see through what's going on, and to build a real contest of power to the people instead of power to the billionaires and arch criminals of the world that support them.
Well, I want to say thank you, Joel, for that great summary. I want to open up. I see I may have overlooked someone. The last one is a 7-0-7. I don't know if I gave you an opportunity to do that. Who want to speak? Okay, I think they're just listening. So we're going to close their mic. But I started off with Sister Julia. I like to give her, since she hangs in there so late in the hour, another opportunity to say something. And we thank you, Brother Joel. We're glad you are recovering. And take care of yourself. Sister Julia, a few more words before we shut it down.
Okay. I was just thinking that Red Onion shows that our incarcerated warriors are between a very sharp rock and a very tortuous place when they go on a hunger strike for their rights, food, medical treatment, all their human rights, because the DOC applies their own version of medical treatment. They call it medical procedure, and that is forceful feeding, either through drip or tube through the throat or through the anus, all of which is torture.
Oh, my God. Yes, very good point. I want to thank you for that, and everybody should take note of it. Again, please, the grandson is in here to help me tonight. I want to leave you with a few words.
Our inability to make political demands did just happen yesterday. It has been a systematic effort to oppress black thought, to oppress black freedom before and since the Emancipation Proclamation. Example, in Texas, when freedom was granted, so-called freedom was granted to the ex-slaves, it took a year for the Texans to end slavery. Now, you may say that the messenger was walking slow, or you may say the messenger was walking real slow or backward, and that is the reason why the Texans continued slavery for a year after emancipation. And if you believe that, I have this here bridge. It goes between Brooklyn and Manhattan, and I've been trying to find someone who is naive enough to buy it. And if you buy that argument, then you're ready to buy this bridge. Now, it was not only Texas. It went to Louisiana and went all throughout the South with the codes that maintained slavery to the degree where we can't have a voting to this very day. They're suppressing the black vote. And now, why aren't we fighting harder? Well, we have a president, Barack Hussein Obama, who said a statement, made a statement, when they go low, we go high. Wait a minute. If you want to get down in the dirt and fight, I get down in the dirt and fight with you because it's about issues. We, as people of color, ever since we got our so-called freedom, we have been giving up our basic rights and demands for the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, whichever party that we were a part of. Our demands were second, third, fourth, and no place. And so we've gotten in the habit of that. Well, we would like to have this, but we're going to give that up. We're going to give up our right to vote. We're going to give up the 1965 Civil Rights Act. We're going to give that up because there's a bigger plan. Vietnam, we have to go along with the Democratic Party and Johnson. And it's habitual. And we've fallen in to that habit. And here we are today. We cannot make a demand because every demand is subjugated to the Democratic overall party demand, which is not much. And remember, folks, in all of America, there is no national health care program. And I will talk about that later.
Well, I want to thank you for getting on tonight. I especially want to thank Brother Jihad and all the rest of our comrades who try to help educate you as to what is real and what is not. You may have the right to vote, but your vote doesn't count. So you've got to make it count. And it's called being strategic. And this is what Brother Jihad and the Spirit of Mandela and the National Jericho Movement are. We need you to sit on your hands on this one because you ain't got a dog in this fight. I thank all of my comrades tonight for helping me to continue, even though my comrade and warrior partner is no longer with us. Thank you.
I wish I knew how it would be to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say.